This is number 14 in the series of the beliefs of the Christian Biblical Church of God. And let me just state here that what we have tried to do in all of these is not state a belief that we believe as people because we originate the thought in our minds. The reason being is that it's of no consequence whatsoever what a person believes if they do not agree with the Word of God. So these are really the doctrines and beliefs which you would find in the Holy Scriptures, which no church has a corner on. In other words, God is the one who has all truth. God is the one who gives us the truth of His Scriptures. So therefore, if we put the Scriptures together and understand them in the sense that God wants us to understand them, which is the literal sense, what we will find, we'll find that there can be unity and agreement on doctrinal beliefs, because if you believe God and believe the Bible and put it together properly, then you will believe what is correct and what God wants you to believe. Now, we've come so far, we just finished up the last one on the two righteousnesses, the righteousness of the law and the righteousness of faith. Now let's come to the next section here on sanctification. Sanctification is the act of setting apart someone or something for a holy purpose and use. Christians are in a continuing state of sanctification after repentance, baptism by immersion, and receiving of the Holy Spirit as a begettal from God the Father. In the Scriptures, Christians are referred to as saints, meaning those who have been made holy by the sanctification of God the Father. And that is because they have received the Holy Spirit. Now let's look at several scriptures here. This one here is pretty much self-explanatory, so we're not going to spend a lot of time going through a lot of in-depth scriptural study on this. Let's come to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. And here we will clarify something, too, out of the King James Version. 1 Corinthians 1, let me just read verse 1, too, as well as verse 2. Paul, called an apostle, or a called apostle. Now it says to be in the King James, but you'll notice that to be, those two words are printed in italic print. And always remember that italic print was added by the translators in hopes of clarifying something, but in some cases it does not clarify it, but it gives a different sense to it if it's not the correct insertion of words. Paul was not called to be an apostle in the sense that when he wrote this, he was a called apostle, already an apostle of Jesus Christ, through the will of God, and Sothensis, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them which are sanctified. Now notice, sanctified, set apart in Christ. That's how you're set apart and sanctified or made holy. In Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Now that reflects a little bit of Catholic thinking. Because saints in the Catholic Church are those good people who have done good works and they have proved that they are worthy to go to heaven and make intercession for people on earth. But if you take out the two words to be, because to be means a future sense, doesn't it? You are to be, according to the Catholics, in heaven. And you are to be a saint if you are beatified by the Pope, to make intercession for people on earth. But this does not have that meaning in the original at all. The Greek means called saints. Currently, today, anyone who has the Spirit of God is a saint of God. Why? Because they have been sanctified by the Holy Spirit of God. And saint just refers back to one who has been sanctified. So it has nothing to do with any of the religious connotations of Catholicism, or orthodoxism, where then people go to heaven and become saints after they have been proclaimed so by the Pope. Anyone who has the Holy Spirit now has been sanctified and is a saint. Let's come to the next scripture reference here, Ephesians 5. And let's pick it up here in verse 25. This shows a continuing state of being sanctified, or in a continuous state of sanctification. Now let's pick it up here in verse 25. Husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it. So also sanctifying is part of the action that God does in cleansing. To cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Now that means the interaction of God's Holy Spirit as you read and study the word of God and come to understanding it, that with the word of God in you, increase your sanctification to God, but also it will be used by you to cleanse you. It is the word which Christ has spoken which cleanses you. John the 15th chapter. He said to his apostles on the Passover night, you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. And so God's word is to constantly cleanse us. It is to constantly sanctify us. And that's the operation that God has chosen. So for the purpose, verse 27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, and that it should be holy and without blemish. And that is the end result of sanctification, to be holy and without blemish. Let's come to 2 Thessalonians now, the second chapter, please. Let's pick it up here in verse 8. Let's see the difference here. This is quite interesting for us if we look at the difference here. Because we know this is coming very shortly. The beast will be here on earth. That he is going to come with all signs and lying wonders. Here in verse 8. And then shall that wicked, and that means the wicked one, be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Now here's a very important lesson for us to realize and understand. As we mentioned in the section concerning the love of God, you have to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and being. And if you love God that way, then you will love the truth. If you don't love the truth, then you are going to be deceived. It's that simple. How do you know whether you love the truth or not? The truth being the Word of God. The way that you know that you love the truth is that you agree and accept and believe and live by every Word of God. If you argue with God and say, God, I like this and I don't like that. God, I really think that you were really too hard with this law. I really think that no criminal should ever be put to death. Then you're disagreeing with God. Whenever you disagree with God, then you are taking the step away from loving the truth. If you don't love the truth, you won't understand the truth. And if you don't understand the truth, then you are obviously not God, you're obviously not sanctified. So I'm showing the difference here between those who are sanctified and those who are not. For this cause, verse 11, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. So if you don't love the truth, then God will send you a delusion, which then you will think is a great new revelation. But it's really a lie. So living in these end times, as we see these things, we need to understand We need to realize that the Word of God is a sharp sword that cuts and divides asunder. So if you don't love the truth, then you'll be given over to believe a lie. You might ask yourself, just stop and ask yourself this, how many lies have I believed in my lifetime? Starting with Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny and the wrong histories that you have read, the doctrines of the church that you have gone to. Many of them are just out-and-out lies. Do you believe them? How many lies do you believe in your life? Well, then that means you don't love the truth. And you're not letting the Word of God cleanse you. That's why sanctification has to be a continuous process to cleanse you of those things, to cleanse you of your hidden faults and mistakes. Today might be a lie that all might be damned, or that is judged, who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. And anything that is not the truth of God is unrighteousness in God's view, regardless of how righteous and holy it may appear in man's view. Verse 13, now here's the difference. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you unto salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So it's impossible to be sanctified in God the Father and Jesus Christ if you do not believe and love the truth. So you need to ask yourself that question. You need to examine what people traditionally call your religious beliefs. Do they conform with the Word of God? And if they don't conform with the Word of God, all the Word of God, then you are believing that much unrighteousness. Because you see, it's not just the exterior of a person being good and sincere. And that's how Satan deceives everyone by saying, well, he's a good and sincere person. That doesn't mean they love the truth. There are many good and sincere people in the world, but they're not called to salvation. They are not sanctified. Now notice, through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that shows how the operation of sanctification works. Let's come to Ephesians, the first chapter. Back a few pages again, since we were there just a minute ago. Ephesians, the first chapter. And we will see here the operation of being a saint and sanctified and what that means. Let's also understand something here very, very important. Only God can make something holy. Why? Because only God is holy. A man cannot make something holy. No man can make anything holy. The Pope can't. The minister can't. No one can. Only God. And if God does not make it holy, then it's not holy. It doesn't matter what men think. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now this could read heavenly things. The literal of the Greek is, has blessed us in the heavenlies, meaning gifts or things, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So sanctification means to be made holy. And the ultimate of the sanctification is to be made holy with a glorious, immortal life and body living forever like Jesus Christ. Now let's come to John, the 17th chapter. And we will see how Jesus described this. And John 17 is a wonderful summary of the whole plan of God, if you want to look at it that way, because Jesus talks about all of the major elements of the plan of God in this prayer, which was really the final prayer that Jesus gave before he was arrested. And also, if you want to find out which one is the Lord's Prayer, then you read all of John 17, because that is the Lord's Prayer. What is called the Lord's Prayer from Matthew, the 6th chapter, is not the Lord's Prayer, but a prayer outline on how we should pray. Here, John 17, and let's pick it up in verse 15. Jesus says, I pray not that you should take them out of the world. And yet there are some people who think that God is going to take us away in UFOs, unidentified flying saucers, and take us on up to Mars as a place of safety. Well, that's out of the world. See, God is not going to do that. But you should keep them from the evil, and as it should read, one, the evil one. Keep you from Satan the devil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them, that is, make them holy, through your truth. Your word is truth. Now notice how all this ties in. Truth, sanctification, holiness. Notice what Jesus says next. Your word is truth. And in the Greek, it is, your word is the truth. Because today, we have a lot of people going around and saying, well, what's true to you may not necessarily be true to me. So you have your truth, and I have my truth. And you live by your truth, and you're okay. And I'll live by my truth, and I'm okay. Well, that's not what Jesus taught. Hold your place here. We'll come back. Let's go to John 14. This is a very basic scripture to remember. There is no such thing in God's eyes as more than one truth. When it comes to the words of eternal life, they come from Jesus Christ only. And when it comes to salvation, it comes only from God the Father through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. There is no other truth. You can be sanctified in no other way but by God's Spirit and His truth. John 14 and verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes unto the Father but by me. And that's very important to understand with all the ecumenical movement, united religion movement that's coming in today. In order to do that, they must reject Christ the way that the Bible teaches him. And if you accept the Christ outside of what the Bible teaches, you have accepted a false Christ, and you are on the broad road which leads to destruction, because there is only one way, that's Christ. There is only one truth, and that is the Word of God. And there is only one eternal life, and that is which God gives. And that no one, regardless of how good intentioned you may be, or sincere you may be, can come to the Father unless you go through Christ. And that is not the traditional message which you will hear in various churches. Because they are using the Bible. They are not teaching the Bible. They are trying to sanctify themselves with their own means, and not with the means and truth of God. Let's come back here to John 17 and finish the section that we've been reading. Sanctify them through your truth. Your word is the truth. And as you have sent me into the world, I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself. Now, how can he sanctify himself? He sanctified himself by going through the crucifixion, and then the resurrection, and then receiving the glory that he had with the Father before he came as a human being. That they also might be sanctified through the truth. Now it says it twice. Now, please understand and remember this. Whenever God says something once, he means it, and that's quite sufficient. If he says it twice, it becomes most important. If, like in the cases as we have studied on the weekly Sabbath and holy days, if he repeats it over and over and over and over again, then it is a central main thing which is absolutely important and essential for salvation. So we're sanctified through the truth.
This tape has been brought to you by the Christian Biblical Church of God website at www.cbcg.org. And thank you for